everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and welcome to today's episode of Fire Up, where we tackle the hottest issues with the intensity they deserve. Kicking off today, we're going to be diving into the catastrophic LA fires. These fires have scorched over 29,000 acres. 29,000. I don't know how much that is in square miles, but we all know that's a lot. It's led to a devastating loss of life and property. It's exposed the critical failures in crisis management. And we're going to explore how poor urban planning, budget cuts to the fire department, water supply shortcomings, inadequate forest management practices, and DEI, as in didn't earn it policies, contributed to this disaster. And from there, we're going to shift to the tech world, where Mark Zuckerberg has made headlines with changes at Meta. He's announced the removal of fact checkers from their platforms in lieu of community notes a la X style. There's that Elon Musk influence, people. And he's also revealing how Meta was pressured to censor content, particularly political speech, which to me and to a lot of individuals created election interference. Hunter laptop, anyone? This shift towards a model that emphasizes freedom of speech is a significant departure from past practices. It's aiming for less censorship and more user-driven moderation. However, we'll discuss if it's really legit or does Meta go as the political winds blow. And no, that's not a Kamala Rice to Power reference. And to close out our show, we're going to give our new segment, Hot Takes, another shot. It's Fired Up's version of a lightning round where we all rapidly fire through some of the most contentious issues of the day, offering quick, unfiltered opinions from the panel. And we'll have our guest, Big John, a.k.a. our producer, join in for that. And he's got some big news himself if you are a libertarian. And I know we do have some conservatarians here. Or so. Oh, I just lost my train of thought, but we'll see. Thanks for tuning in for an episode that promises to be as fiery as the topics we are covering. So let's get started and welcome our panel. Hello, everybody, and let's welcome our panel in, Mr. G. Mangani. How you doing, G?
Good, and I always love your tongue-in-cheek references talking about the Kamala one.
and to our producer, Big John, if you can see why our handles aren't showing. And Miss Annette Ross, how are you doing? Looking dapper as ever.
Good to be here.
Hey, I'm feeling a little insecure. Last week, you called Rachel and Annette beautiful, but...
where's the love?
There is no love. You see, people, I am in my Indian fest for the last 6 months on movies, and I see some damn good-looking male Indians on there. I'm straight, by the way. You know? So, gee, between you and I, we got a lot of moving up the ranks there to do. I'm kidding. G always looks dapper there, you know. The only thing, the downside with G, cross our fingers when the Indian jokes come from G.
But I can do that. I got a free pass since I am Indian.
There you go. The one thing real quick about Indian movies that I realized, there's so many parts of India, it's just like the United States. It looks like you have your extreme, I don't want to say black Indians, but extremely dark, Nubian-looking Indians. You have your white-skinned Indians. You have your traditional, you know, the caramel brown, or as Jason Whitlock said, the peanut butter color, the peanut butter cream color Indian, you know. So it's a wide variety. That's what I marveled at when I first started watching them, you know, because it started with – how do you say his name? Hrithik Roshan?
Hrithik. The H is silent. Hrithik Roshan.
Yeah, and Annette, you would go, if you saw him. You know, the guy's just chiseled, you know, and good looking, except for his two thumbs on one thumb, you know. But so I just marvel at that. We are more alike in various ways in different parts around the world than what our American politics wants to give credit in terms of the tribalism they are always pushing. And in fact, with that said, let's get into this segment. And the reason I say that is because I just saw a post where Karen Bass, the mayor of LA, is saying people want her to resign, not because of the fire and the incompetence, but because she's black. Exactly. So to the audience, we are going to enter the LA fires of 2025. First of all, it's the Eden Fire and the Palisades Fire. And these fires, again, have ravaged about 29,000 acres, destroyed, I want to say 1,300 was the last count I saw in terms of structures.
45 square miles. I calculated
45
that.
Square miles. Think about that, people. That may not sound like much. That's a lot. I mean, that's how many homes and buildings can you put in there? Because we're talking the city of within L.A., the greater area of L.A., all that city. And it just now hit the outer skirts. So that's a lot of stretchers, 1,300 from what I've seen. 10 lives. Nearly 180,000 people have been evacuated. Most of those evacuations coming with constituents helping one another more than the fire department, but give credit to the fire department. And the reason it's burning so badly, people, is because their first priority is to save lives. Then, because that fire was uncontainable at its start. So that's where the debate comes in over the fire department's readiness. And the budget is significant, with evidence of misallocated resources and ineffective strategies with the current leadership. And we're going to talk about that from both the political and the urban responsibilities. And sadly, as is always the case, there's arrest for arson in terms of criminal elements. They have a suspect in custody. And then the one downside, people, that we're seeing with this is the looting. And here's the terrible part with there are been illegal immigrants that are part of gangs. Now, I'm not going to condemn all the illegals, but they get in their vans and boom, they are targeting these areas. And some of them have already been busted starting a fire. It's like it can't get any worse for progressive policies. There's also false narratives being pushed by the mainstream media. They're blaming conservatives, saying that, hey, it's not DEI, it's not diversity initiatives for the disaster scale. They're saying it's not water management policies. They're saying it's conspiracy theories and we're completely denying climate change. And the reason I say that's misinformation, as a Californian, all three of us, we've dealt with this for decades. We deal with the same problems that crop up in terms of why these fires happen and why it's a struggle to manage them. Going all the way back to the 90s when we first learned you don't have shingle roofing in California. When we saw here in the 90s a fire start right in San Marcos, which is inland, and through the embers go from house to house to house all the way to the Pacific Ocean. So we've learned a lot, but we've not applied all those lessons. And these are not black and white issues, all these factors. All these factors have contributed to what we're dealing with. And with that, let us start with here with Ms. Annette. Annette, talk to me about your thoughts on the progressive policies that often prioritize habitat preservation over forest thinning or control burns. The deforestation problem we have in this state.
Or you mean looking after the smelt instead of the people and maybe dumping all that water into the ocean that we could be using? I don't really know where you begin with all the problems that we've heard about since these fires began and how deplorable the situation really is, from not having water in the fire hydrants to the mayor not being there and having absolutely nothing to say when she was questioned, to Governor Newsom when he was questioned, trying to also hand it off to make it about something else. But all of these policies got us where we are today. I have a hard time understanding. First of all, they did a great job. They had those two really large fires, and the one in Palisades is bigger than Manhattan, I believe, than the entire city of Manhattan. Yeah, that's what I heard on the news today. And they had the Hearst fire as well, and they had the Kenneth fire last night. So they had some fires they were able to get some control of. You know, that one started in the Hollywood Hills. They were able to get control of that. So I give the firefighters a lot of credit for what they were able to control. Imagine if all those fires had raged out of control. But I have to say to you, it's progressive policies, but also what came into my mind again and again today is that those people, will they ever get a chance to rebuild? Or is the beautiful state of California and the government going to make it so impossible for them to get permits that they don't have a chance in hell of putting their land back together again, or they're going to be caught up in some sort of bureaucratic nightmare for the next 3 years?
Right.
You know, so I know
we are going to get to that.
We're going to get to that. So I guess what I would just say is it's neglect, it's mismanagement, it's deplorable, and I'm not sure what all of the factors are. It's all obviously multifactored, but I'll stop there.
All right, so G, what many don't realize that is a big issue as well is environmentalists go judge shopping at time when they're able to. And these activist judges, I got to be honest when I ask this question, because I feel they do. Do they have blood on their hands in terms of, I mean, they're the ones that the environmental activists count on to shut all this down. And they've succeeded with the state and local leadership's help.
Yeah, I mean, they would have blood on their hands, but nobody cares about them. I mean, what judge do you know? I don't know any name that comes off the top of my head. I do know Governor Newsom. I do know now Mayor Bass. I know their names, and their names are going to be the ones held accountable. I believe in terms of the progressive policies, 2014, it was passed that 5 more reservoirs would be built. And, you know, don't quote me if I'm off 1 or 2 reservoirs, but 5 were supposed to be built, and Governor Newsom comes in 2018, tears down 6 dams, meaning we're at -6 reservoirs in the last 50 years. It's terrible.
Wow. Exactly. No, I agree. All right, G, so let's move on here real quick from that then, and talk to me about what your thoughts are on the rainwater and the water recycling storage, the lack of that. That's a big issue in terms of, Annette touched on that, but with the rain, I mean, we have seen, it looks like thousands and thousands of gallons of water just being wasted. How big a factor do you think this is?
Oh, it's huge. So the reservoirs that they could draw from ran out of water, albeit temporarily, but that might have made the difference, right? I mean, sometimes fires, beating a fire is a matter of minutes, not a matter of days. So I visited Rome 2 years ago in 2022. Their fountains run 24/7. You're telling me a country, a European socialist country, can run water into the street 24/7, and that I'm not saying that the water is being used. It just runs right into the sewer. And yet we run out of water. I mean, it's ridiculous. Rome's got it on straight and California can't.
No, I agree. Annette, in reference to what you were talking about in terms of Hollywood Hills and the Woodlands, that's where the progressives moved into action. This is what scared them. They're like, we have to put that fire out. We cannot have the Hollywood sign change to this. Trump won. I'm sorry, I cannot resist the little jab there. So Annette, what about the water infrastructure? There's a dam, the Palisades reservoir, completely empty. Now, there's a picture I'm going to show, but that's from 2022, but it's still the same. Now, what are your thoughts about, there's one thing to let rainwater, but you know you are in fire. We actually have a fire season. I don't know, and I'm sure Arizona may have some, a couple others, but we're one of the few, if only, states that actually has a noted fire season, and they don't have the water reservoirs filled. Your thoughts on that incompetence?
Why don't they? I mean, I'm sure everybody who's listening to this is scratching their head in the same way that I am. And yeah, it's such a grossly incompetent. I mean, I know we have the same problem with our dam, right?
That's the Palisades Dam or reservoir right there.
But there's no excuse for that. I'm not even sure that anyone ever has answered how could I answer that question when I don't think that Governor Newsom has even answered that question? Does he have a reason why that dam is sitting there empty? I mean, has he spoken to it or explained it, or has he given some reasons why he thinks his ideas about that there should be more rivers? I think one of the things that I saw was he was opening up some rivers in California, and that was part of the reason that some of these dams were empty right now. I mean, I'm not.
You know,
I'm not really sure what he's getting at, but you're right. There is a noted fire season, but now they say the fire season's all year long. And we did have a lot of rains last year, so there was a lot of extra foliage that was able to – it comes up pretty quickly in California. Notice how it gets really dry, and then it rains just a couple times, and everything turns green almost immediately, which is actually quite beautiful, I think. But we had some good rain last year, so there was a lot to burn. So why everyone's scratching their heads and is surprised by this, especially the leadership – especially the mayor. It's like, it is so disgusting to me. It is so upsetting to me that all these people have just lost their lives in their homes and have a bed to sleep in at night. And the fact that they were going to turn our power off here in San Diego. Like, you know, get ahead of it. Winds are coming, we'll turn the power off. But they didn't have the power off in Malibu. All those winds were happening. Well, people, isn't that a true statement? Is that not true?
Well, I don't know if they're under SDG&E, but they turned it off here because of the telephone pose. For the sparks.
Should they not have done the same thing, though? Should they not have been preventative there as well?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what started the fire. But my whole issue with electricity, and G, if you want to chime in, is look, I'm sorry. People may not realize it. They always cry the poor blues, but they make billions of profits at times, SDG&E and PG&E. I think it's PG&E up in North.
They don't want to put those
lines underground, and thus they keep them on telephone poles and transformers. I have seen a transformer. If y'all may not remember, about 20 years ago, it was the same night of the OJ case when that guy confiscated that trunk, that tank. Remember, he took that tank and ran amok in San Diego? I saw him. I was about 150 yards coming from school, and there's that tank, and I'm pumping gas, and he hits a telephone pole, and next thing you know, there's sparks, and I'm like, and I'm out of there. And the guy, and I felt bad because I paused. I got to pay. And the guy runs out, move, run, you know. And just think of that with dry foliage, you know. You want to chime in before I ask you about the desalinization?
Yeah, I'm not sure what was happening with the electricity power lines up there. But I know in San Diego, the high wind areas, SDG&E was proactive, turned them off and let the schools know that look, you might not have power, and if you don't, do what you need to do with the school day. But I will say that there was some footage from the LAX, I believe it was, pointing up at the mountain, and it looks like the fire from this camera, started like near the top of the mountain. So I'm not sure there was a power line up there, and the question is, then how did it start? And was this set on purpose?
Right, they're not sure yet. Regarding the desalination to the audience, we have some desalination plants here. One's in Carlsbad, California. It's right near where we all live. And they have them, I'm sure, up and down the coast, but just they're few. They're expensive. It's expensive. In the military, everything's desalination because you have no choice in the ocean. And in Israel, they have mastered the art. It's a big cluster bleep here in terms of reasons why they don't want to do it, the cost, the upkeep, et cetera. But when you have a fire season, and to remind the audience, we are a desert. If we don't water it, it's brown. First, G, real quick here, what are your thoughts? Why not? Shouldn't we be focusing more of these funds from the state into these plants?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But I think there's the environmentalist angle, right? I mean, if we do that, then I think it might hurt the fish. And look, I love sushi, so you got to kill some fish to eat sushi. But, you know, if I had sushi in my hand and your house is burning, I'll drop the sushi and help you put out the fire. So, I mean, we got to get our priorities straight. And I believe at least some of the dams that Newsom broke down were to help the Indians recapture some of the salmon. So, I mean, I think it's the same mindless reasoning for not building desalination.
Right. Now you brought up a good point. You know, there are the environmentalists who are concerned about the fish, you know, in the plant and the processing of the desalination. But a legit issue, Annette, is it's corrosive. So when you want to kill everything, say in a garden, in a spot where you're going to put gravel, say you can use salt. sucking water, and that kills everything. It corrodes everything, and it kills the climate. However, as G pointed out, you know, everything's ablaze here. Maybe we worry about that problem afterwards. Your thoughts on that environmental issue versus, hey, let's put the fire out and save 10 lives here.
Well, you know what I wondered about watching this whole thing torch up in terms of even my dear uncle lived between like three of those fires, and thankfully they didn't get close enough to him. But we all know somebody, I think, who was affected, and we had a friend who lost her house in Pacific Palisades, so he has nowhere to go home to. I would say, when they're thinking about the future and how the money that they didn't put to, and wasn't there a huge budget cut? So we have that as a problem. Shouldn't they be thinking about more creative ways? One of the things that I thought of, I know you're going to laugh at me right now, but like drones. No, could we use drone technology though? Yes. To be solving this problem? You know, when I was reading how some of the planes, you know, they weren't able to get up, some of the winds. Okay, I get that because they couldn't be, you know, a human being in there, but you could put a drone up there. I mean, potentially that you could. There have to be more creative things we could do other than, this is what I don't like about California fire season. Because G and I have been at the same meetings with the fire chief down here in San Diego talking about preventative ways to get in front of the fire season. Oh, look at the kind of plants you have. You know, get rid of the own brush in your house. You know, you can do certain things in your own little habitat and space. And I understand that and I appreciate that. And I think it helps maybe just a little bit. But when you're here in fire season, you feel like a sitting duck. Those people were sitting ducks, and that's what it feels like. You're just running for your lives from fire. And I really think they could do more to get ahead of it. And maybe
no, you're right.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Your idea is great, and it did not hit me. In the military, aircraft carriers, for defense purposes, they have something called CAP. I forget what it stands for, but in essence, you have your fighter pilots and kind of just swirling around, the guard, the carrier group, you know. So they call them CAPs. I forget what it stands for. I should know, but it's been over 25 years, almost 30 years since I left the military. They could do that with drones as a preventive measure. But William, the cost. Well, what's the cost? Hundreds of billions or tens of billions that they're going to experience now, or putting some of our tax dollars into low efficiency, low cost drones. You don't need the big military drones, just little drones to put them in a cap during fire season. And especially, and you can figure that out, meaning, hey guys, we got a homeless area here. Whoop, put the drone up. Our your good friend, Annette Amy of San Diego, that's I think of her because that's her handle on Instagram. Somebody mm-hmm. with a big following, like 600,000 followings, came to the town. Mm-hmm. She showed her around. As Amy was showing her a homeless encampment, there's a guy, mm-hmm. there's a fire starting right there. I mean, you can't make that
I
up.
I saw that. So,
yeah. So I love your idea of the drones. But let's move on. Go ahead.
No, trying to get ahead of it. Trying to think, we know this is a problem. What are some other creative solutions to this problem that we know is going to come regardless whether it's an arsonist, which unfortunately most of the time it is, or, you know, something in nature, you know, something falls and something gets started, ignited. Do you know what I mean? We know.
Well, the problem here is until you experience it, you don't view it as seriously as you should. It came out today that Karen Bass wanted, just last week, I think it was like $40 billion she wanted to take out of the fire department. Just last week she was proposing that before these fires hit. So the other, and we'll get into this in a bit down the road.
But why was she in Ghana, William?
She was in Ghana representing the Biden, the U.S. As Biden's representative. But they had people for that at D.C. She had no business. I forget what mayor it was, said, look, I'm staying here during my whole tenure. Why? Because an emergency can crop up. I'll take a vacation. It'll be locally where I can rush back. She doesn't care. This is about status. This is about her legacy. This is about, I'm Karen Bass, a great civil rights activist and she's a great, nothing but an incompetent DEI. And she showed it here. Any fool can get elected, and on both sides, Republican, Democrat, white, black, Indian, woman, man, an incompetent one. She just happens to be a black incompetent woman, you know. So speaking of incompetence, that's a good segue, G, into how's it going? Didn't earn it, you know? So the fire chief, here is what in doing my research, I discovered the top three fire positions are all female lesbians. This is Kristen Crowley. She's Los Angeles' first woman fire chief. I heard it on another podcast. I don't care if you're white, black, Latino, Asian, Indian, whatever. I don't care if you're a woman, whatever. I don't care what your gender is, whatever. As long as you can throw my butt on your back and carry me out in the middle of a fire, that's all I care about. As long as you're competent enough to understand how to organizationally plan and lead all the fire departments. The top three are female lesbians. The odds of that, if you just take the LA pool of candidates, the odds of having three is 0.36%. That means they did not hire these women based off qualifications, but off a specific non-fire qualification credentials. That's what I'm saying. That's my opinion. I don't have any proof of that. So now these are speculative numbers, meaning they're general, because I had to gather them, and because there's no really hardcore specific data. So you extrapolate numbers to get to the bigger numbers. So then I was like, okay, these are positions that are open nationwide. They're not just open to the locals. They open them nationwide. So nationwide, statistically speaking, the odds of three lesbian women holding the top three positions is 0.0157%. So not even a half percent there, you know? It's 0.016%. These odds underscore how unusual it would be for this specific scenario to occur by random chance alone. Translation, I am saying, my opinion only, bull. This was not, hey, it's just coincidence we get three lesbians. My point isn't that they're lesbians. My point is that they were more than likely hired because of what they represent, not their qualifications. I don't want to get either one of you two in trouble, but what are your thoughts on that?
No, I just know that if I brought someone in to interview them and asked them, are you lesbian? I think I would get a lawsuit on my hands. But I guess nowadays you can actually ask that if you hire them and you get extra brownie points. I mean, I don't know if she's good or not. I saw today that she was really throwing Mayor Bass under the bus, saying that Mayor Bass is to blame for all the cuts and that the fire department's the same size as it was when LA was half the population. You know, maybe she's doing a great job and she's trying to do the best she can with what she's got. And maybe the blame goes mostly with Mayor Bass. But we shouldn't be hiring people based on their sexual orientation, for or against, or based on their skin color, or for or against. You just find the people who can do the job the best.
Right. Right. Annette, I'd like to get your example as our humanist here. I want to get your art side. What do you think of this beautiful art? We could not get water out of our hydrants, but they sure as hell look damn good.
Did you see from just 2 years ago the clip of the fire chief saying that we needed more diversity. We needed more DEI. We needed more LGBTQ.
Let me pause you right there. Here it is.
Time out of her already
inspired.
She took time out of her already busy schedule to tell us about her vision for the department's future, one that includes a 3-year strategic plan to increase diversity.
People ask me, well, what number are you looking for? I said, I'm not looking for a number. It's never enough.
Out of 3,300 city firefighters, only 115 are women right now. She's already looking at ways to change that. She's quick to point out that doing so has a greater purpose, attracting the best and brightest for the job.
They feel included, they feel valued, and they feel part of a cohesive team.
The chief also checks another box when it comes to inclusivity and diversity at this department. She's a proud member of the LGBTQ community.
That just kind of opens the door of people that thought, wow, I didn't even know that that was an opportunity for me.
Okay, and before you speak, I just want to make an announcement to our audience. Again, we're not saying that we don't want her because she's lesbian or a woman. We're questioning the fact of why she was hired. And now we're also going to talk about Why? And then is her priority first LGBT and not making sure she's battling the state. Get water in our reservoirs. She's battling Karen Bass publicly. We need our money to combat these fires. She's battling to locally. You people, constituents, need to get your yards and your grounds fire ready. Instead, that's to hand me some DEI.
William, I'm in a wheelchair. Should they hire me for diversity?
Can you throw me on your back?
Can I carry a hose? I mean, this is a thing. It's not, anybody who listened to our conversation and think that we're saying that it's about that, not at all. I don't think this conversation is about someone's personal life. And it's whether or not they can do that job, like you said. Do they have the bravery and do they have the strength and do they have the knowledge and understanding and just literally sheer brute strength to go in there and fight a fire and carry a hose and maybe potentially climb to a roof or whatever it is they would, whatever other heroic acts they might need to do in engaging in that kind of work. That's the only question. There's no other sort of criteria for that.
Well, you know what, Annette? If you can throw me on your back and roll us out of there,
I got my endorsement.
So, gee, there was a video of this, and I just like this picture much better. But this is number two or number three on the scale of rank. And she came and before I go on to the audience, I haven't confirmed this, but I was told that the three fire these are three came through the paramedic, up the paramedic ladder. They're not firemen. I mean, they're paramedics. To me, that is like a supply officer in the United States Navy being put in charge of JSOC and special operations to focus on the SEALs. You know, you put the fireman in charge, a paramedic. Look, I'm sorry. There's just certain jobs within an industry. You should never have the top leadership because your specific job doesn't encompass everything. Whereas firemen and women are actually trained in paramedic type rescue. Full-time paramedics are not. So she said, G, if I have to carry him out of a fire, he got himself in the wrong place when she was asked about carrying the man. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, if this person can do the job and that was the best person, fine. I mean, I don't care anything about this person other than they can do the job. If this person was hired in place of
I don't mean to interrupt. I want your point on what she specifically said. If I have to carry him out of a fire, he got himself in the wrong place. Oh. What she's saying is if I have to carry him out, he's the problem because he shouldn't be where he's at.
No, she doesn't know what the job entails. I mean, that's your job. I mean, many of these people are going to be passed out. And how does she know if it was their fault? I mean, maybe they were asleep and then they passed out from the smoke. And what? Okay, well, if you're not going to walk out on your own strength, you'll just burn. I mean, okay. I'll back up and say clearly she doesn't know what the job entails. And I think there was at least one person better. I don't know who that person was, but would have known. My job is to carry the person out of a fire.
Right. No, I get it. Okay, let's keep moving along here. We're going to have a good flow here. Let's talk about political incompetence. When we talk about all this, people, we're not just talking about throwing a man on your back as a woman and lugging him out. We're just not talking about deforestation and water. We're talking about incompetence when things go down. In the military, you train over and over and over. And people, for the record, I have been trained in firefighting. I have felt that heat. Army. I have had to throw a man on my back. And in the military, they mess with you. I'm 5'7 at the time. I was a muscular 160, and they gave me the 200-pound guy. He looked at me and go, dude, I'm sorry. That's all he could say. I threw him on my back, and I'm like, whoo, 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 25 yards. And you know who? He got mad at me. You know why? You realize in real life versus television, he's bouncing. And his crotch is bouncing on my shoulder. He's like, dude, slow down, man. You're killing me. It's hard is my point. It's not like you see on TV. You throw them on your back and you go. But the incompetence – I'm sorry, I digressed. I just had to tell that story. The incompetence resides in sending out the citywide alert and putting people in a panic. You know, the incompetence aligns with not being here with the mayor. And this was the mayor's reaction. You cannot – this is golden.
Citizens, an apology for being absent while their homes were burning. Do you regret cutting the fire department budget by millions of dollars, Madam Mayor? have you nothing to say today? Have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today? Elon Musk says that you're utterly incompetent. Are you considering your position? Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster?
It goes on like that for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. She cut the fire department by $17.6 million. Progressives say, no, no, it's not that. It's not this. Look, I understand it's a little complicated, but then you cut all the complexity. You cut all those layers away. They were $17.6 million less. As I said, she wanted to cut more out. The misallocation of resources, police support. Here's what people forget. When there's fire, there is looting. You need a strong, robust police department. They cut that too. Real quick, Annette, your thoughts on the mayor's incompetence. Have you ever seen Karen Bass? Have you ever seen any outspoken Democrat? Because she is an outspoken Democrat. She stands on her soapbox, and she will preach to Jesus about how pure she is and he isn't. That's who she is. She was silent there for 2 minutes. Your thoughts on that?
I think she should have been in tears. I mean, just I understand that maybe she couldn't find her words. I hope it was because she was devastated. But I don't think that was the reason why. I think she was just being defiant. And if that was me, I would have been on my knees apologizing for anything that I didn't do that I could have done for a situation that caused the heartbreak and chaos that this was caused. And it's not nearly over.
Exactly. So, G, before I get your comment, I wanted to show the audience in terms of more incompetence here. These are, the fire's gone through. The city's supposed to be on alert working. Those are gas lines that are still burning. You see them burning. Now, because they're burning, think of that as that's just fueling the fire. You see the evidence. Now, I will defend L.A. only in this case. That tends to happen a lot in some of these major fires, you know. So, and finally, I want your take on this, G, and then we'll move on. We'll close this topic out. But this is what I'm talking about, progressives defending one another. This is golden. You can't make this up either.
Former L.A. mayoral candidate and real estate developer Rick Caruso criticizing the city's response to the windstorm and fires. He says officials should have been more prepared.
The real issue to me is twofold. We've had decades to go remove the brush in these hills that spread so quickly. And the second is you got to have water. And my understanding is the reservoir was not refilled in time and in a timely manner to keep the hydrants going. So that's a failure, whether on DWP's part or another city agency. But this is basic stuff. This isn't high science here. And it's all about leadership and management that we're seeing a failure of. And all of these residents are paying the ultimate price for that.
Despite what you have heard from Caruso, no firefighters have told us that they are running out of water.
No firefighters have told us we are running out of water.
And let's go out to Gigi Graciette. She is live in Pacific Palisades. I know your signal's not the best, but Gigi, what can you tell us?
Well, firefighters have told me they have no water on this block, and you may be able to make out the ember storm that we're in the middle of right now. This house is going to be a total loss. They have no water to put on this fire. They are standing by because they're trying to save the home that is next to it.
So this progressive is like, no, Rick Russo's lying. Let us go to our live report. Bam! You can't make that stuff up. Real quick here, Mr. Van Brugestich. Yes, we're talking about the LA fires. Thank you for tuning in. And we must stop these Cali fires. Gee, your thoughts on that video?
No, that was terrible because, I can see the firefighters going to a reporter and telling them because the ones above their heads are not listening. There's no other reason why you would go to a reporter. I believe that guy was lying, or either he wasn't informed that the firefighters were saying there's no water. But this is what you get when you – and I'm going to get a big fist bump from John, maybe the first in a while. When you have a two-party system and people vote for the person with a D or R after their name, and they have no idea of their competence in running a city, especially a city like L.A. I mean, clearly this woman, Mayor Bass, is more interested in advancing her political group's agendas, like DEI and all that, rather than actually running the city and making sure the residents are protected. This is what you get, the worst disaster in L.A. history. And I feel sad for the people. And, yes, many of them were wealthy people, but I feel sad that they lost their homes and the few that did lose their lives. That's terrible. That's a war zone right there. It looks like Gaza.
I did have a Jamie Lee Curtis, and then she said it's like a war zone. They criticized her. I'm like, well, it kind of does, you know. That is Palisades. You know, that is the Palisades. That's a picture.
Yeah, you know, James so Woods' home somewhere there, Ricky Lake's home somewhere there. I mean, that's all gone.
And the guy who was just on Joe Rogan, Mel Gibson, as he's on Joe Rogan, his house is burning in the background, poor guy. All right, to the audience. So government price controls on fire insurance have also directly led to a shortage of coverage as companies leave the state or cancel policies. We didn't have a chance to talk about that tonight, but that is the other factor that we are going to have to deal with. It's adverse effects, and this is a product of Democrat policies at the state level, forcing insurance to remain at a certain price where they take everything at a loss. They can't raise your rates, which you're happy about. I get it. But what do they choose to do? They leave the state. There are many people in the Palisades and not throughout L.A. that do not have insurance. The one-party system in California has failed to provide accountability with political figures like Bass and Newsom. They're not facing enough scrutiny. Maybe they will now. While private initiatives like Caruso's, what he ran on, maybe that'll finally start to make some headwinds and we'll see change. And with that, my friends, let us move on some topics here. Meta's moral compass, always pointing towards wherever the wind blows. In January of 2025, Mark Zuckerberg and Meta made headlines with a seismic shift in their content moderation policies. They are removing third-party fact-checking to a community note system. Why do I say liars? Because it was a one-way. I run a Facebook group, and I was early on about a few years ago. I was constantly getting pinged. You violated our community, and I'm like, I just said hello. Oh, but I'm conservative. Boom, the worst conservative, a Latino conservative. But that's how bad Facebook was. And Zuckerberg also gave an admission that the Biden administration pressured COVID-19 content and what they could or couldn't post, showing government overreach and, I believe, election interference. That was past the election, so I apologize. Prior to that, the Hunter Biden laptop, election interference. But amid calls for less control, more transparency, and redefined free speech, Meta's also moved to Texas, that department, and to give the look, hey, we understand California is very biased in the perception, pure leftist. So, G, let's go to you first. Emphasis on free speech. Meta's framing this as promoting election integrity by allowing all perspectives, including those previously moderated or suppressed, to participate in public discourse. First, your thoughts on that, and two, shouldn't there be some accountability for them having suppressed us?
I think the accountability comes with the free market. People are not on Facebook. I notice on my Facebook feed, it's all curated content now, unless my friends, because I think they're not posting as much. But so that is the accountability. Should the government have some accountability over them? No, they can. I mean, they're a free enterprise. They can do whatever they want. If they want to moderate, censor, you know, let them do what they want. But I think this is a good move to move towards the X model, where the community gets to say, hey, this is right, wrong, and they get to ratify that through some kind of voting process or whatnot. So it's a move in the right direction. Did Zuckerberg do this? Probably. He did it before the election, at least.
That is true. Miss Annette, so they created an oversight board, and I don't know if the UFC guy, Dana White, and he's on their board. I don't know if it's an oversight board or just the board overall, but they are making changes, and the oversight board, it's based on current and past criticisms of the board having a liberal bias, they're like, hey, we know that. We agree to that. And now they're saying that Meta might be open to planning changes to make the body more neutral or reflective of a wider range of political views. We know that sounds great. Based off your experience of Facebook, all three of us have been around for a while with Facebook. Your thoughts on if that will really happen?
I mean, I think that it will. I think, take a look at, Trump's not even inaugurated yet. I mean, isn't that incredible? I think it says a lot that our vote actually matters. It's changed so much already. He's not even really, I mean, I get, hasn't it all? I mean, maybe they're kissing the ring or whatever, but first of all, it's mind boggling that he, to recognize it. No, that he's admitting, right, what they were doing. Isn't that right? I mean, we all sort of knew it. I mean, even theories that turned out to be true, like.
That's a great thought point. So what are your thoughts on Meta just goes with where the wind blows? Do you think that's what it is? I mean, you're right. It's a great admission. But is it truly an admission? Or as G said, you know, what he meant, I assume, is where the wind blows is how they move.
Yes, that's what he's doing. Yes, that is what he's doing.
And I also think they fear the Trump in how do you say this? A Trump-minator? Is that what you said? All right. So by highlighting all this, Meta might be attempting, as Annette said, just to come out and say it, they might be attempting to reassure us conservatives that taking steps to address these concerns is the right way to go, and they're going to try to make amends.
But for people William, what is his admitting what was going on and that the government was involved in some of this, right? That they wanted them to suppress information. Imagine the next level of distrust that's out there now. I mean, I think we suspected it, but now do I all of a sudden trust him?
No.
I don't
trust white men with the bling bling. Sorry. That's just me. Yeah.
Do you know do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, yeah, yes. I understand that. But then the question is, he's admitting it, right? And even I saw that segment on Joe Rogan where Joe Rogan's like, wait, who is they? Who is telling you to withhold this information? And Zuckerberg almost felt like he had to come out with it. But he's like, the Biden administration. I mean, he's like, okay, you forced my hand, but yeah, here it is. So
Let's talk about that. Zuckerberg's admission on COVID-19, election cycle manipulation, Hunter Biden laptop for an example, and the suppression of dissent. If you disagreed, you were community violation. Address those three. We're not lawyers, but don't you think the way the left has always taken us to court, the way they took a lot of Trump conservatives to court, don't you think somebody needs to answer for this?
Yes, I mean, again, I mean, then we trample on free enterprise, and I have a difficulty with that. So they have the right to publish whatever they want on their platform, but then we have a right to go, no, this is biased.
But it's illegal for the government to go in and tell you to do what they told you to do. That is illegal.
And that's what Goebbels did in the 1930s in Germany. He took the journalist articles and say, no, you can't write that.
Right, so I want to give me a quick answer, and we'll go to Annette on this. So I apologize to the audience.
No, it's fine.
While I want to see Facebook answered, the reality of the matter is people within the Biden administration should be answering legally and criminally. Your thoughts are bigger on that than Annette, yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Biden administration needs to be held accountable for that, and hopefully during the Trump administration, Trump 2 administration, that it will happen.
I hope so. Annette, your thoughts on that? And then real quick, you're a stock trader. Big John just posted a comment here, which is true. This happened in World War II in Germany. All the companies fell in line with Nazism or else they would be taken over and destroyed. But Big John's correct, our producer. Big companies always kiss the ass of the current political structure. You know, that is true. But Annette, so your thoughts on should the Biden administration cronies be criminally charged? And you were a former stock trader of a source. I don't know exactly, but you played in that world. Investors with conservative leanings, do you think they're going to look at this change and go, hey, to smaller companies, let's use Facebook as a marketing device, or advertisers, let's go advertise on Facebook now since it's more conservative friendly?
I mean, I do think that there's still a trust issue there, right? And would we really, I mean, I know that I'm a conservative person, but I wouldn't want it to go the other way either, William. I just want there to be, I mean, as best as you can be, to allow for these platforms to have the most, the least amount of censorship. That would be my hope. That's why it's funny, like, they're moving to Texas, right? I'm like, funny, they went from a state that's actually pretty blue to pretty red. Could they pick one a little bit in the middle? You know what I'm saying? I was thinking, it's not that I want it to necessarily just be the way I look at the world either. I want sort of the lens that gives me the most unbiased lens that you can get so I can still make my own decisions. That's my point.
I used to be like that, but we are in a world where you have to punish so they don't do it again. And a dirty little secret. I was told they're moving to Austin. Austin is when they talk about purple, they're looking at Fort Worth, Austin, Dallas. Those are blue epicenters in Texas. So they are getting the middle balance ground. They may be moving to a state, but they're moving to a blue city. You know,
Austin is the California of Texas.
Exactly. So to close this out, from a conservative viewpoint, Zuckerberg is now seen as someone who has learned from his past mistakes. Not. We will wait and see on that. But the future of Meta from this conservative's perspective, can it become a beacon for free speech? Can it challenge other techs? Hell, even within its own umbrella, like Instagram and WhatsApp and others like that to follow suit, to serve as open forums for all ideologies? You know, can we have less focus to reduce the government influence? And yes, we can if we punish those responsible for that government influence. If we don't, it's going to happen again. So maybe this strategic shift will spur some industry-wide innovation, not only in how they do business, but in content moderation, leading to maybe some AI-driven solutions that balance freedom of speech with misinformation prevention. Not like healthcare did it, where it was 90% faulty rating. They were denying too many people, but something more balanced. And
William, I have a quick question before you go, because I do think it's important for the audience for you to give this distinction, because I'm wondering how you feel about this. Are you saying, though, that the Biden administration has some culpability? Yes, it does. Are you saying that then Mark Zuckerberg doesn't?
They both do. But it's not illegal for Mark Zuckerberg to do what he did. He would be brought up as a witness. It's the government that it's illegal to impugn on somebody's free speech. And that's what they were doing to Facebook and to us indirectly. They were using a third party to do. They can't directly impugn our free speech, but they were doing it through a third party. So my point is, they're the only ones who we can go after, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Ethically, he was wrong. Ethically, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, big time. And see, that's what I don't like about Mark Zuckerberg. He's crying wolf. I mean, he looks like this cute little kid. You know, yeah, he's innocent. No, he went along with it. As Big John says, we're going to kiss the ring because we don't want you to come after us. And that's what he kind of said on Joe Rogan. It takes a real man. I mean that metaphorically. It doesn't matter what gender. To sit there, put your foot down, and go enough. And then to go public. And Facebook is worth billions. They had the money to fight back, but they chose not to because their ideology at Facebook is leftist driven. So he is just as equally at fault as the Biden regime is, but we can only go after the Biden regime legally. And if there's a lawyer out there that disagrees or we're uneducated, hey, please come on and educate us. We'd love that. Gee, you had one final comment before we move on?
No, guys nailed it.
All right, let's get to our hot takes. What our hot takes encompass is, it's kind of like a lightning round. The panel gives me a yes or no, and then with a line or two, they back up their response. It's like flash, rapid fire. We've tried this twice, and we got great content, great discussion, but the hot takes went from maybe about 10 minutes to 25 minutes later. So, question number one, let's start with G, the Biden brand. Oh, I'm sorry, where is Big John? Let's get Big John on here to add some libertarian flavor. How you doing, Big John? Say hello to the audience.
Hello, audience.
All right. In fact, G, I apologize. We're bumping you for the white man. Big John, the Biden brand.
Yes, he did earn it.
Was the Biden brand a significant factor in the financial dealings and earning $30 million for the family?
Can you repeat the question one more time? You lost me halfway through.
All right. This is where it starts, people. Was the Biden brand a significant factor in the financial dealings and gain of $30 million for Joe Biden's family? Because you're late in context.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. All right, all right. We'll go. All right, let's move on to G. G, your thoughts.
Yes.
What's the Biden brand?
Absolutely. You're talking from Ukraine, right? Yes.
And China. Miss Annette.
Of course. Of course.
All right. And this person says, yes, it was not just the Ukraine. It was China. It goes back 30 years. You know, question number two, White House cocaine. Let's start with G on this one. Was a new book has come out from Representative James Comer that talked about this. It's going to be released the next week or two. So was the destruction of evidence in the White House cocaine case by the Secret Service intentional to obstruct the investigation? G.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Ms. Annette.
Yep.
You guys can give a line of context if you like.
You've got to like make these questions harder or more controversial.
All right, big job.
I have no earthly clue if it was intentional or not.
My take: it was not only intentional; they covered it up even worse by taking the camera, the film. They had that film. It's in every room. It's security, you know. So yes, it was most definitely
similar to Clinton. Everyone knew it was happening, but no one wanted to say anything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the rumors are rampant. TikTok. Is the Supreme Court likely to uphold the TikTok ban due to national security concerns? Annette.
That's a good one. I think so, but I have to say I don't love it.
Big John.
I think they will, but they would be wrong to do so.
Yeah.
Gee.
I think they will, but I think it's necessary for national security, and I hate saying that.
I agree with G. That is exact. There's always exceptions in life. Nothing is black and white. That's what sickens me about people. It's not black and white. The key question here is if the government is actually telling the truth that this is national security issues. If it is, they have every right. And the Supreme Court has traditionally and historically when it comes to national security, let the government do as it does. That's why we have the terrible John. Big John, what is it with the what Rand Paul's always fighting? The Patriot Act.
The Patriot Act, the FISA rules, everything, yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's get back to Big John. The Laken Riley Act just passed the House. Will the Laken Riley Act pass the Senate in a watered-down version due to Democrat and Rhino opposition?
Yes, and again, it's a law that should never have been written and never should be passed. It's an extraneous law that's not needed.
G.
Will it pass the Senate? I think it will. Because people look at Laken Riley and if the senators vote against it, it's like voting against her. I think it will pass.
Annette.
I think it'll pass too for I agree with G.
I think it will pass because of what G said. This is like a blow to the head if you say no that you can campaign on. But to Big John's point, I will agree with this act only if we don't address anything in terms of illegal immigrants elsewhere in the law. You know, it's sad that we have to come down to this point in our country that we have to do laws like this, but I'm not a fan of it. The Florida governor race. We're going to start with Big John because I know this is his favorite politician. Florida governor race. Is Matt Gaetz a front runner for the Florida governor, and will he run, Big John?
He'll probably run. I don't know if he's the front runner or not. I mean, he's a contemptible person, so who knows Florida politics? I mean, they'll go from DeSantis to Gaetz. From a competent leader to a clown, I don't know. He'll run. Gee. Whether he wins or not, I don't know.
Gee. Kamala's a front runner for 2028. Will she be the nominee? No. So my answer is the same. Matt Gaetz is the front runner, but he's not going to get the nomination to run in the general.
We're talking about the Florida governor. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah. The Florida governor, yeah. So he'll get the nomination to run.
I thought you said Kamala. I thought you were thinking.
No, because everyone's saying Kamala is the front runner for the Democrat side for president. It's kind of the same concept, like it's too early. Too early. So Gates is the front runner in the talk, but he won't win the primary.
Miss Annette.
No. I can't even take that guy seriously. I am shocked that he would even put himself out there. But no, he doesn't have a prayer.
Good for you, Annette.
Here's the ugly truth about Matt Gaetz. He's brilliant, but he is his own worst enemy. You guys may not like him, but you guys are talking about his antics. When you look at his scope, when you actually look at what he's done in Congress at some of those, when they had those committee hearings, he's very, very good. He's just his own worst enemy and how he carries stuff. Both can be true. See, y'all can't be saying, oh, he's an idiot, this or that. The guy's a lawyer. He grills people on there. In fact, I'm digressing. I'm my own worst enemy right now.
He might be savvy. Maybe he's savvy, but I don't know if I'd say he's brilliant.
But he will, yes, he will run. And I think because of name recognition, he'll be one of the front runners early on at least. Changing colors. We'll start with Miss Annette. I think I've been ignoring you as the first person. Senator Fetterman's visit to Mar-a-Lago, a sign he's leaning towards the GOP as he's the only Democrat to go visit. I don't know if he was invited. I assume he was. Your thoughts?
You know what?
Yes or no?
I love that guy. I honestly didn't like him before because it just annoyed me that he would dress in a way that I thought was not appropriate and not the standard and the decorum for the office, you know?
He's a bum.
But when he speaks, I like what he's saying. So I think he has an open mind.
I'm sorry, Annette. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. That's good.
He dresses like my 16-year-old son. I do like him because he's honest. Yes. I think he's doing it because he wants to run as a Democrat nominee for president in 2028. That's why he's doing it.
Big John.
Okay, I'll try to make this as lightning as possible. No, he's not trying to join the Republicans. Two. Isn't it funny that 6 to 8 months ago, everybody on the Republican side was accusing him of being brain damaged and not fit for office, and now they're all in love with him? Isn't that interesting? And then
that is very interesting.
And then the third thing is, yeah, he's not trying. I think what G said is correct. He's trying to position himself as a moderate Democrat for his future political ambitions, especially in a swing state like Pennsylvania. He's trying to rise above the D and R divide. He could be like a conservative Democrat, like old school, like a Sam Nunn, if you remember the 80s and the 90s, and that's where he's trying to go.
Yeah, he's like Meta. He's blowing as the wind blows. He's changing his political stripes. He's still a bum. Was always a bum. That hit on the noggin. Just because he says stuff that we like, the problem with the conservatives is, I love him. I love him now. Why? Because he's saying crap that you like, but he's still the same person that sat there and accused a guy just because he was black of breaking a window because the black guy just happened to be right near the window. That's who he really is. Pennsylvania is shifting to more purplish red, and that's why he's shifting as well.
William, I don't trust him because he reminds me of our very own Joe DiCapita from the Blind Side Blitz. If you look at him long enough, I'll let you think of that.
I'll make sure to send him that. Big John and Big Joe. L.A. wildfires. Let's get back to the L.A. wildfires. I just can't let that go. Miss Annette, climate change. Is government mismanagement more to blame for California's wildfires than what progressives state that it's climate change?
1,000% is definitely mismanagement over climate change. I'm not saying it's not a factor.
2,000%. 2,000%. I'm going to one-up in that.
I apologize. And then it seems like I keep cutting you off and letting the men speak. I apologize.
As an Austrian economist, I will not go the 1,000, 2,000% route and just say 100% correct.
There goes those white Austrian economists living in their ivory college towers. LA wildfires, question number two. Trump was right. Trump was mocked to discredit his correct wildfire prediction for California on the Joe Rogan podcast and elsewhere. True or false? Big John.
Did he do it, or are you asking me, was he right to be mocked? What's the question?
It doesn't matter. Was he mocked? Was he mocked? You know, that's right. Was Trump mocked to discredit his correct wildfire prediction is what I'm asking.
He should have been mocked. Predicting a wildfire in California is like predicting snow in New England. It's no big deal, and it's something you say and bring up later.
And yet, half the country believes it's climate change because the Democrats and wildfires aren't a big thing. It's always everybody. So Big John's wrong. Your thoughts?
60% believe that in L.A. No, he was in 2018. There's video of him predicting If you don't build up reservoirs and you don't clear the brush, you're going to get a huge wildfire. It happened. And Gavin Newsom and Jerry Brown were standing on either side of him.
That's right. That's right. And she's right, Annette. 60% believe it's not. It's only climate change. You know. Did I ask? Okay. Was Trump mocked to discredit his correct wildfire prediction?
That's the way you're posing that question. Was he mocked? Yes, he was mocked. Are you saying should he have been mocked?
No. I'm just asking. Was he mocked? Yes or no?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. The reason I asked the question to the audience is people don't believe he was mocked. They mocked him because they believed he was wrong because of the mainstream. 60% believed he was wrong and he deserved to be mocked. Yeah. You know, he was correct. And they mocked him because an Alinsky tactic is you go after the messenger. I know the Alinsky tactics. I practice them. Said only with the righteous truth. Okay. LA wildfires number 3, reality check. This is a good one. It's from Adam Carolla. If you have not seen Adam Carolla's on YouTube, check it out. I think it's spot on. Here's the question. We'll start with you then, Ms. Annette. Will bureaucratic frustrations post-wildfires push Hollywood Democrats to vote GOP? Meaning, once they go through all the paperwork and years it takes to rebuild their house, will they go, enough of this crap, I'm voting Republican? Yes or no?
Yes, or they'll move out of the state. I totally think so. And he was so spot on with his messaging on that.
Big John.
No. Yeah. No, they'll figure out a way to shift blame, and they'll may even join the chorus of that's why we need higher taxes to rebuild L.A. and to make things like that. So you might have a few defections, like the Joe Rogans that left California for Texas, but on the whole, no.
Gee, that's a great answer, Big John. Great answer.
No, I mean, they believe Republicans are bigoted and racist, and they'll say, I'd rather deal with, you know, years and years of building my home and the inefficient bureaucracy over racists. That's the way they think. That won't ever change.
Both Big John and G are correct. I want to believe what Annette said, but the truth of the matter is we have an impotent California Republican Party, no matter how much Viagra you give them, they're always going to be limp. They're led by a chairwoman who is on her knees for Kevin McCarthy and the Rhino Republicans. They don't care about that. The reason I say that is if they had a spine and went out there and talked to the people, to their constituents, then I would agree with you, Annette. Until we show signs of life as a state party, no. Number 10, political persecution. We'll start with Big John because I know what he's going to say. Was Judge Merchant's sentencing of Trump politically motivated, and did he ignore the conflicts of interest with his family?
Yes and no.
All right. Give me a couple seconds of why.
Was it politically motivated? Yeah, probably. Was it because of the connections of his family? No. Was there anything improper with his family? I don't think so. You know, he was politically motivated, and he was being tough, though, with an antic-ridden Trump. So he was it was a weird clown show. It should have never been brought up, but once it was brought up, Trump was his own worst enemy in that courtroom with him.
Gee.
Yeah, I'm going to say it was politically motivated, and I think all these trials were politically motivated. I don't think it had to do with his family. I think it has to do with his politics and his allegiance.
Annette.
I agree with Big John and G.
All righty. It was politically motivated, and yes, there were conflicts of interest. What the mainstream media is not reporting is that his daughter's firm was raising tens of millions through Adam Schiff and others. It was politically motivated, and they were benefiting. And here's a dirty little secret. Judges, when they're brought up for tribunals, the people who are looking at them are fellow retired judges, and they rarely, if ever, go guilty to that judge, get out as a conflict of interest. So, yes, this was everything politically motivated and conflicts of interest. Bonus question, the final question. You'll like this one. We'll start with G. Was Biden's slower response to give federal aid to Hawaii, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee? Compare that to his immediate action that we are going to fully fund California and the LA fires. Was that due to California's political importance with the Democrat donor base and 54 electoral votes? G.
Ooh, I mean, Hawaii is blue as well.
There's only like 3 or 4 electoral votes there, and there's no influence with the donor base.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, $750 to help North Carolinians rebuild. And he's saying he's going to pay for the whole cleanup here in California. Absolutely. It's because it's blue and that's where they get their money.
John, Big John.
I would like to say no, but I think the answer is yes.
I'm with you, Big John. Miss Annette.
Yeah. It's a sad truth, I think.
Right. So here's where I'm not crapping on the rich people, but that whole area is the Hollywood elite. That's a big Democrat base. They're going to take care of their base who gets their messaging out there. There's also 54 electoral votes. They will do nothing to imperil that. And these are just, who cares about taking care of the unknown redneck of North Carolina or the poor Hawaiian with their $750? Take care of the people who take care of you come election season. I'm with Big John. I wish it wasn't true, but it is more than likely true. Then Annette, tell us where we can reach you. Then Annette, tell us about your book.
Yeah, find me on X, SDGOP, and that's where you can find me.
Author of the book Where Fairy Tales Go. Actually, you can find me on Big John's podcast. He just interviewed me. That'll probably be coming up next week sometime.
Outstanding. And Big John, tell us about what has just gone down with you and your libertarian allies on the other side of the pond.
No, it just went down. So, yeah, no, we've had some good things. So the first thing is my show with former vice presidential nominee for the Libertarian Party, Mike Termott. We just launched that yesterday. It's gotten some pretty good reviews already. It's called Liberty Lens. If you go check it out here at grumblingsmedia.com and also on our Twitter site, you could catch that. And I find out that Mike has a good sense of humor. He chopped up our interview and it's made me sound really ridiculous. So he's had a good sense of humor to promote it from his end already. So I have a feeling we're going to have a good a series of shows coming up in 2025. And then also last night on Free For All, our live stream, I had the former Iowa gubernatorial candidate for the Libertarian Party, Jake Porter, came on, and he laid out in detail some excellent investigative journalism where he was able to find the paper trail that proves or likely proves corruption, monetary corruption on the part of Angela McCardle, who is the sitting chair of the Libertarian National Committee. People want to get some explanations as to how certain sums of money have ended up back into her account. Oh, and there's that handsome gentleman along with Mike Termott. So, yeah, if you get the chance, Liberty Lens. Thank you, William, for the promo. Appreciate that.
And there you have it. And guys, congrats. This was our best hot takes, and we're still improving. A work in progress to the audience. So for the audience, thank you for tuning in tonight. And you can find this podcast. You can find my culture podcast, Red, White, and Rude. And you can find my Where Sports and Politics Collide, Points on the Board, at Grumblings Media, as well as our social media outlets such as YouTube, Rumble, Pandora, Apple, Spotify. I am William Del Pilar for Annette and G. And this is Fired Up. Until next week, we bid you adieu.